Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. Okay, let's dive right in for the final part of a message called God Wants to Talk with You.
I couldn't count the number of times over the last 30 years I've been out on a patio after service and somebody will come up to me in tears and say, Pastor Rick, that message really touched me. It really, really touched me. But over the next months, you don't see any change in their life. In fact, maybe I never may even see them again. They're touched, but they're not transformed. They're emotionally moved. They get a quiver in their liver. Woo! That was really good. But as soon as the emotion's gone, nothing happens because they don't allow the Word of God to penetrate the bedrock of their personality. They come for the movement. They come for the motion. They come for the joy. Notice it says there, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. Circle that, with joy. They're thrilled, but they're not transformed. They walk out the door and immediately forget it. Which is, by the way, why we have these things at Saddleback, these handout notes. I've told you many times, the United States Air Force did a study and discovered that we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. Now, that means if you've heard every message I've preached at Saddleback over 30 years, you only remember 5%. That's why we pass out notes, because the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And if you write it down, you can take it home and you can put it up on your refrigerator and look at it during the week, or you can put it on your bathroom mirror and look at it in the week. You can laminate it and put it in the shower and look at it. You know, you can put it in the windshield or the visor in your car and pull it down and look at it during the week when you're at a stoplight. And you'll remember it longer if you actually take notes. Now, you may not be taking notes and you're sitting there and you're looking really spiritual, but I'll tell you this, everything I'm saying is going in one ear and out the other. And before you get in your car, you've already forgotten almost everything I've said. And that's the shallow soil. It's superficial mind. Notice it says shallow roots, and it says they believe for a while. And then when the heat comes on, you blow up and dry away. I don't want you to be that way. You don't want to be that way. You want to be a deep person, not a shallow person. You want to be a person with spiritual roots. You don't want to be some shallow woman or shallow man. You want to have deep roots so that when recession comes and it lasts for several years, you're able to keep bearing fruit and being green. And when the rogue winds comes and somebody in your family gets sick or somebody dies, it doesn't blow you away because you've got roots. And you're able to stay with it. That's why you've got to take time. Now, how do you develop roots? How do you develop roots? How do you develop spiritual roots? Two ways. A daily time with God and a weekly small group with other believers. These two things, you got to spend time alone with God and you got to spend time with other believers. That's why I talk about this over and over and over. It's the two ways you build roots. If you're not spending time with God on a daily basis, you're going to dry up and blow away when the pressure's on, when the heat's on in your life. You won't be able to handle it. And that daily time with God, you sit down and you be quiet and you read a little bit of the Bible and you talk to God, maybe read a little Christian book or something, and you listen, maybe play some music. If you like to journal, do that. We have a whole class on this, class 201. Maybe you've forgotten how to do it. You could go back and take class 201 again. But you got to make time to listen, sink in. And then you've got to have a weekly small group. Because in that small group, you know what? The small group I'm in right now, I think I've been in it 8 or 9 years. God speaks to me through those people. You say, He does? Yes, He does all the time. Why? Because nobody has a complete perspective on life. I don't, and you don't. Every one of us have blinders on. I can see things in your life you can't see. You can see things in my life that I can't see. And that's why we need each other. And I learn from the people in my small group. If you're not in a small group, you don't get that encouragement. Now, the Bible says this. It says, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Now, the third reason, third thing we have to do in order to hear God is, if you want to hear God, if I want to hear God, I must eliminate the distractions. I must eliminate the distractions, the fuzz that's on the line that I can't hear God clearly. You can't hear God if your mind is crowded with other things, with other thoughts, with other concerns, particularly worries, plans, activities. If you're always listening to the radio, always listening to TV, when God calls you, the circuits are busy. And it's kind of like on Mother's Day when you try to call your mom and you can't get through because all the lines are busy. God can't get through to you because your mind is preoccupied all the time. You're worried about something all the time. You're thinking about something all the time. You've got to eliminate the distractions. Now, Jesus says this in verse 7. Other seed fell on the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and strangled it. And notice, here's the third kind of soil. This is the soil with weeds in it. And the soil, the seed, God speaks, it actually gets planted, and the plant actually begins to grow. But as it begins to grow, other weeds began to grow up around it, and the weeds began to choke out the life of the vegetable or the plant that was planted. So it never bears fruit. Here's what Jesus says is the meaning of this. Verse 14. The seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear. They hear God talk to them, like in church or in the Bible or somewhere. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. They never grow up. Now, I want you to circle a couple things. This verse is full of truth. First, circle the phrase, as they go. It says, as they go, they're choked by the weeds. Let me ask you a question. Are you always on the go? Because if you're always on the go, you're not going to hear God. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Sit down, shut up. Just be quiet, it says, and be quiet, be still. If you're always on the go, you're going to be distracted by other things. Busyness is the third barrier to hearing God. The first is resistance. The second is being in a hurry. And the third is busyness. When I'm always on the go, I can't hear God. And I'm going to miss a lot of what he wants to say. I used to have a sign in my office that said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. You get so distracted, you can't hear God. Notice it says, they are choked. That word in Hebrew, in Greek, literally means stressed out. And their merimnon means pulled in different directions. Now, you know what that means, because you're pulled in different directions all the time. And it says they're pulled in different directions. They're stressed out. Their life is choked. The life of you is choked out of you. And that's why you're tired all the time, because you're being pulled in different directions. And he says there are three things that choke out hearing God. Look at them. First, he says, worry. Worries choke out. Worries are weeds, okay? And you're so busy with the problems and pressures of daily living, you're not hearing God. And then he says, riches. You can be so busy trying to pay your bills, so busy trying to get out of debt, so busy trying to make more, so busy making a living, you don't make a life. It's like the woman who was wealthy, and I read about her, and she was a multimillionaire, and she killed herself. And at the funeral, somebody said, I don't understand it. She had so much to live for. And her son said, no, she had much to live on. She had nothing to live for. A lot of people have a lot to live on, but nothing to live for. They're making a living. They're not making a life. And he says, worries and riches can choke God out of your life. You're so busy going after the buck, you don't have time to hear God. And then he says, even pleasure. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. God gives us the ability to have pleasure. Pleasure was God's idea. He thought up all the pleasures, and he gave you the ability to experience pleasure. But he said, you can be so busy pursuing fun, you miss God. Now, there are a lot more weeds than just worries and riches and pleasure, but he just mentions these three. By the way, what do you have to do to get weeds in your garden? Nothing. Nothing. You don't have to cultivate weeds. They grow automatically, don't they? In fact, weeds are a sign of neglect. You see weeds in your yard, you see weeds in your lawn, you see weeds in your garden, it means you're not tending your garden. Weeds are always a sign of neglect. It means you're neglecting time with God and time with your small group. You know what I've discovered is that when I don't want to go to small group, that's when I need it the most. A lot of times, I don't want to go to small group, I'm tired. But I go and then I get re-energized. Because what I need is that fellowship that's going to re-energize me far more than laying on the couch at home and watching a rerun of something. So he says, you need to make time. I must eliminate the distractions. Weeds are a sign of neglect, and when I neglect time with God, they start growing in my life. So write this down. The soil with weeds represents a preoccupied mind. Not a closed mind, okay? Not a closed mind, not a resistant mind, not a busy mind, but a preoccupied mind where I'm always thinking about something else and all the circuits are busy. What you need to do is you need to get quiet. You know, there's a story in the Bible about Elijah trying to hear from God, and it says that God spoke to Elijah not in the wind and not in an earthquake and not in fire, but he spoke to God in a whisper. What do you have to do to hear a whisper? Be quiet. I have learned that God rarely yells. In fact, I don't think in my entire life God has ever yelled at me. But God whispers to me all the time. But I can't hear God's whisper unless I'm quiet. Now, the fourth thing. If I want to hear God speak, I must cooperate with what he says. Cooperate. I must just obey him. I must do what he tells me to do. I cultivate an open mind. I allocate time to listen. I eliminate the distractions, and I cooperate with what he says. Whatever he tells me to do, I do it. Now, here's the very important key. God speaks to people who decide in advance they're going to do what he tells them to do, even before he tells them. It's saying yes in advance. So God, I don't know what you want me to do with my life. If you want me to move, I'll move. If you want me to go to school, I'll go to school. If you want me to get married, I'll get married. If you want me to leave this job, I'll leave this job. I'm telling you in advance, my answer to whatever you tell me is yes. Before you even tell me, my answer is whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And that's the person God speaks to. Now, if you say, God, tell me what you want to do, and then I'll decide if I like your plan or mine. God isn't going to waste his breath on you. God doesn't give you his will and his word so you can debate it. And so if you say, now, God, you tell me if you want me to get this new job or not take that job, and then I'll decide. And God said, no, you just go ahead and decide on your own. If you're making the decision, you decide on your own. What you must do is in advance say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm writing my name on a blank check, and I'm handing you the check, and you fill it in. You tell me what you want me to do, and I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to do it. I'm saying yes, Lord. That's the good soil. That's the receptive soil. That's cooperating with what he says. Notice this verse, verse 15. The seed that fell in good soil stands for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart. And they persist until they bear fruit. Now, this is the fourth kind of soil. I want you to circle four things. Good soil means I hear it, circle here. I retain it, that means I remember what God told me, and that means you're gonna need to write it down, because if you don't write it down, you're not gonna remember what God told you. I hear it, I retain it, I remember it. I obey it, okay, obedient, and then I persist until I bear fruit. This is the good soil. And the good soil represents, write this down, a willing mind. A willing mind. Now, when I used to study this parable of Jesus, I used to think it was talking about four kinds of people, that there were resistant people, and that there were busy people, and there were preoccupied people, and there were shallow people, and then there were good people. No, I don't believe that anymore. What this represents is four attitudes, and I can have all four attitudes in the same day. You can be in all four of these positions on the same day. And at one moment you're going, God, I don't want to hear you because I know what you're going to say, and I don't want to hear it. And in the next one you're saying, Lord, tell me quick, tell me quick, tell me quick, and you hear it, and yeah, that's good, but then you immediately forget it and don't do anything about it. And then the third one is, yeah, that's really good, and the fruit starts to bear in your life, and then you get busy with your job, or you get busy with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you get busy with school, or you get busy with your kids, and you forget what God is doing in your life, and the weeds grow up. And then sometimes I can just be open and say, God, whatever you want. I'm totally open to you. Whatever you want in my life, I want to do it your way, because that'll, fewer mistakes, shows I'm in the family, and leads me on to success. Now, how do you bear fruit? Bearing fruit is another term, it's a Bible term for being successful. God wants you to be fruitful in your business, in your family, in your friendships, in your relationships to God and to others, in your health and all. We're looking at these seven areas of fruitfulness: physical health, relational health, financial health, spiritual health, emotional health, mental health, vocational health, your job. Now, God expects you to bear fruit. He wants you to be successful in these areas. How do you bear fruit when God tells you something? Here's the key. You tell somebody else. You pass it on. When God tells you something, the quickest way to get it in your life is tell somebody else something you just learned. If you get an idea, you get an inspiration, you get a truth from your quiet time in a small group, tell somebody else. In a Bible study, the person who always grows the most is the one who's the teacher. Because by passing it on, you grow even more. Look at this next verse. They listen to God's word and cling to them and steadily spread them to others who also soon believe. Circle spread them to others. Spread them. God wants you to pass on to others what you learn. Now, during the Daniel plan, I've been going to see Dr. Amen, and he said, why don't you let me do a brain scan on you? I said, good idea. So Dr. Amen did a brain scan on my brain, and I'm happy to report I have one. Okay. Kay doubted it sometimes, but I do, if I only had a brain, you know. I do have a brain, and I got to thinking as he was doing this brain scan, what if we were to do a spiritual brain scan on your brain, and we were able to put it up on these screens or in any of our campuses on all of the screens, and it could show what kind of mind you have? Closed mind, resistant mind, hurried mind, preoccupied mind, shallow mind. What would it show? What kind of soil would your mind reveal spiritually? Are you resistant? Have you been closed to God? Your wife's been a Christian for years, or your husband's been a Christian for years, and you just out of your own pride refused to let that seed get planted. And it's hard, and it's trampled down, and it's closed-minded. You're not open-minded. You're not even open to the possibility of letting God plant the seed in your mind. Well, I want to tell you this. God loves you too much to let you stay that way, and so he's going to soften the soil. If you have a hard heart toward God, or a hard mind to God, he will soften the soil. And how does God turn hard soil into soft soil? I hate to tell you this, but he sends a storm. He sends rain. And the rain comes and it softens. I want you to have to be able to avoid that pain, because he loves you too much to let you go through life with a hard heart and a closed mind. He will send a storm at some point in your life to soften that so the seed can get in. I suggest you open your heart and mind to Christ today. How about a superficial mind? You say, oh, you know, I love going to church, but I'm always in a hurry. And God's not the top priority in my mind. And, you know, I love the Lord, but I'm living for other things. And I don't really know the Bible. I don't have a quiet time. I'm not in a small group. You don't have any roots. And when the heat's on, you're going to wilt. And when the tough times come, and they do come, you're going to wilt. How about a preoccupied mind? You're always thinking about everything else, and you're too busy for God. And so much noise is going on in your life. And the weeds are growing up, and they're choking your life out. And I don't know what the weeds are in your life. It could be a relationship. It's choking out your spiritual life. It could be money. It could be a dream or a goal. It's choking out your spiritual life. If you're tired of living like that, you want to open your life up. You want to hear God speak to you. Now's the time. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I want to learn to hear your voice. I don't want to have a closed mind. I don't want to have a distracted mind. I don't want to have a narrow mind. I don't want to have a shallow mind. I want to be good soil. I want to cultivate an open mind. I want to listen to you. I want to be receptive. I want to get my ears on. I want to allocate time to listen to you every day, to just get alone with you for a little bit and be quiet and read your word and listen. Today, I recommit to having a daily time with you and being faithful in a small group. If you're not in a group, just commit to get in one. Help me to eliminate the distractions and all the weeds in my life that choke the life out. I want to cooperate with you. And before you even tell me what you want me to do, I'm saying yes in advance to you, Jesus. I open up my life completely to you. I want to follow your path. I want to make fewer mistakes. I want to be on the path for my life that you've planned for me. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart and life today. Make yourself real to me. I want to follow you and know you and trust you. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear his voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.